The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read several verses from Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. I'll begin in Hebrews 10 verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of sanctification and perfection. We see both these things mentioned in the text this morning, sanctification and perfection. In our day, much is said about sanctification and perfection. I realize that. There is much information out there on radio, TV, on the World Wide Web about sanctification and perfection. But in light of our text, it saddens me to have to say that yet the hearts and minds of men and women seem to remain empty of its truth at large. Heretical preachers, when they speak of sanctification and perfection, heretical preachers emphasize fallen man's actions. They always begin with fallen man's actions or fallen man's will or fallen man's worth when it comes to sanctification and perfection. But our text, the text I've read this morning, emphasizes Christ's action. And it emphasizes Christ's action in the past tense. It's a done deal. It's an accomplished thing. So our text emphasizes Christ's action in securing sanctification and perfection for a people. You and I know, I think everyone probably understands this, that men begin with what they think is best. We always do. We begin with what we think is best. We emphasize what we think is best, but Scripture begins with what is true. Scripture begins with the truth of God in Christ Jesus. Christ, according to our text, sanctified and perfected a people when he offered himself as a sacrifice to God. Now, let me give you the context of my text. Let me give you four things here on the first few verses. Think about this now. Legal obedience. When I say legal obedience, I mean even the sacrificial offerings, the bullocks and the bulls and the lambs and the rams and the goats and the doves. This legal obedience, even sacrificial offerings, never perfected. That's quite clear. Verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. So we see that perfection never came by these sacrificial offerings. Now, remember, these sacrificial offerings were ordained of God for the time then present. But even in that time then present, these things never perfected. Secondly, legal obedience. Even these sacrificial offerings never purged. They never purged. Look at verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? That is, these sacrifices that they offered year by year continually. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. So if they had been purged by those sacrificial offerings, if the conscience has been purged of sins, they would have ceased to offer those offerings. So legal obedience to even these sacrificial offerings could never perfect. Legal obedience, even these sacrificial offerings, even this sacrificial obedience, I might say, never purged. But there's a third thing. Legal obedience, even sacrificial offerings, never took away sins. Do you see it? Verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sins every year. These things constantly reminded the offerers, every time they offered a sacrifice, these things constantly reminded these men and women of their sins, that their sins were still there before God in the forefront. And according to the apostle, when he writes that, he said, those things, those sacrificial offerings could never take away sins. So here's the fourth thing, legal obedience. And remember, this legal obedience was ordained of God for the time then present. But this legal obedience, even this legal obedience, mind that word, legal obedience, even sacrificial offerings, never satisfied divine justice. We see that in verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had, even back then, thou hast had no pleasure, no divine satisfaction in those things. Now, sanctification and perfection demand obedience. The very nature of the words imply in the strongest sense, the sense of obedience. But here is the obedient glory of our text this morning. Here's the obedient glory. First of all, negatively, in this text, not any fallen man's will, not any man's fallen man's worth, and not any fallen man's work is mentioned. No mention of any will, worth, or work by fallen men. The only will, the only worth, the only work spoken of in our text concerning specifically sanctification and perfection has to do with Jesus Christ. Fallen man has nothing to do with this sanctification and perfection. It is Christ's willing obedience. There is obedience here. Sanctification and perfection were wrought by obedience, but not my obedience, not your obedience. Sanctification and perfection were wrought in Christ's willing obedience. Look at it, verse 7. Then said I, who is the I? That's Christ. This is a prophecy quoted by the apostle here from one of the Psalms. And those Psalms were prophetic words of Christ's very being. And he said, then said I, Christ said, lo, I come. And he says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. This book, the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, is about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Every subject in this book centers around the person and work of Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one of God. And he said, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will. You see the obedience? To do thy will, O God. Here is the willing obedience. Here is the worth. Here is the work. Here is where sanctification and perfection are wrought. They're wrought by God in Jesus Christ. So the obedient glory of the text here has nothing to do with fallen man. Remember, not his will, not his worth, not his work, but it has to do with Christ doing God's will, his willingness to do God's will, his worth in doing God's will, and his work in doing God's will. Again, look at verse 9. Then said he, that is Paul is saying, then said Christ, lo, I come to do thy will. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So it is Christ's obedience. It's Christ's obedience in taking away the ineffective legal obedience and establishing his own absolute obedience. He has this will. He came to do God's will. And God's will he did do. And so it is Christ's obedience in taking away the ineffective legal obedience and establishing his own absolute obedience. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. That's the old sacrificial offerings. He taketh away the first. Taketh away the first, that he may establish, not attempt to establish, not try to establish, that he may establish the second. The offering of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ, the will of God in Jesus Christ, the worth of Jesus Christ is not a different way to sanctification and perfection. It's not a matter of those things were okay, but they didn't produce enough results. It's not those old sacrifices worked somewhat, but not well enough. Those sacrifices did not work at all. They did not take away one sin. They did not satisfy divine justice, not in one iota. They did not purge the conscience from sin. They did not perfect the comers before God. Here is not some different way. This is the only way. Listen to what Paul says in the first part of this book, Hebrews chapter 1. Now listen to what he says. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, that is the brightness of God the Father's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now listen to these next few words. Listen, if you have ears to hear, listen to what it says. When he had by himself, he doesn't need my will. He doesn't need my worth. He doesn't need my work. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 3. When were my sins purged, if they were purged? They were purged when Christ died on that tree. He then sat down. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, having purged our sins. Sins gone. Whoever sins he purged, he did it back then. This is the way of God. This is the truth of Jesus Christ. So, he did it by himself, when he had by himself purged our sins. And in our text at present, Hebrews chapter 10, we find out that the subject of sanctification and perfection, again, has nothing to do with my will. It has nothing to do with my worth. It has nothing to do with my work. And it has nothing to do with your will or your worth or your work. The obedient glory of Jesus Christ is that which secured these things, these two wonderful, glorious things, this sanctification and perfection. Here is the secured glory. I talk about securing the glory, securing this sanctification and perfection. Here's the secured glory of my text. Look at it. First of all, number one, Christ wrought sanctification by his one offering. Look at it, verse 10. By the which will, that is the second, the one he established, by the which will we are sanctified. How? How are we sanctified? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's once for all time, we might say today. He offered it one time and one time only. So when did he sanctify? You see it right here. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Christ wrought sanctification by his offering, his one offering, his one-time offering. Sanctification in the sight of God Almighty is a done deal. And what does that word mean? What does that word indicate? It means to be set apart. This is the meaning of the word sanctification, to set apart or to make holy, to be made holy. This is what Christ did in his one obedient act, in his body, the body that God had prepared him. He set a people apart. He made them holy. He made them an article fit for God's divine favor. This is the meaning. And Jesus Christ did this for a people. Again, let me read it, because God's word is what matters. By the which wheel, we are sanctified. How are we sanctified? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So we see that sanctification took place. It's an accomplished fact. It is the truth of God, and it was accomplished when Jesus Christ offered himself without spot to God. Set apart in redemption. That's what he did for these people. He set them apart in redemption. He set them apart in reconciliation. He set them apart in justification. In other words, Jesus Christ, when he offered himself without spot to God, set these people apart unto God in all that was necessary. He sanctified a people by his actions, by his work, by his worth, and by his obedience to the will of God in his willingness. So Christ wrought sanctification by his offering for a people. Secondly, Christ satisfied divine justice by taking away sins by his one obedient act. You see it? Look at verse 11 and verse 12. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, do you see that? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. What is it when he sat down? He was at work. He accomplished this taking away sins. He accomplished it, but then he sat down on the right hand of God. When we compare this then with what we've already read in Hebrews chapter 1, when he had by himself purged our sins. So when was sin dealt with? When were sins dealt with? They were dealt with by Christ's obedient act on that tree. And by his obedient act, because of that obedient act, therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Christ wrought sanctification by his one offering. Christ satisfied divine justice by taking away sins by his one obedient act. And not only that, Christ is sovereign to conquer a people. Do you see that? Look at verse 13. Now, let me read verse 12 as well with it. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now you probably comprehend the implication there. Here you have a conqueror. You have one who has people under his feet, as in you may have seen in movies or certain pictures of days of old, when one king would conquer another king's army in battle, then the conquered king would lay on the ground prostrate before the conquering king, and that conquering king would put his foot upon the head of the conquered king. This is Jesus Christ. He is a conqueror. He's a conqueror from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. You see, his sovereign power to conquer flows from his one obedient act, perfecting act. Now look at it. Look at it. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Do you see that? So we see that in his one offering, he sanctified a people. And in that sanctification, he perfected forever that one offering. For by one offering, he hath, past tense, it's a done deal. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He's the conqueror. Seeing that he sanctified a people, and seeing that he perfected a people forever by that one sanctifying and perfecting act, he is now, henceforth, from that time on, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, and they shall. What is one way in which Jesus Christ conquers. Here's the way I want to deal with or speak about this morning. According to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," that is the gospel of Christ, "for it is the power of God, the dynamite of God. It is the power of God unto salvation, unto the Jew, to everyone that believeth," to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This is how he conquers. He conquers by his gospel. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He was writing to these Thessalonians and giving thanks to God for them, and expressing his thanks to to God for them. And he says in verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians 1, "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." Do you see that? In other words, I know God chose you. I know God Almighty picked you out. This thing is based upon what God purposed to do, and God purposed to sanctify and perfect the people in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ. Paul says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." How did he know that? "For," he says in verse 5, "for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy in the Holy Ghost." You see, God Almighty, through the preaching of his gospel, this is at least one way, one of the ways in which he conquers. God Almighty, through the preaching of his gospel, conquers the hearts and the minds of his people. When that gospel is preached and God Almighty has breathed into their very soul the breath of spiritual life, and they hear that gospel preached, it doesn't come to them in word only. It doesn't come to them simply as some message that some mere mortal man, some mere mortal sinful man has preached to them. It comes to them in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. This is how God Almighty conquers these people that he sanctified and perfected by his one obedient act. To everyone who hears my voice this morning, if you're still listening to me, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. Sanctification and perfection were an act of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is now, through the power of his Holy Spirit, and through men sent of God to preach this gospel. God sends this gospel into the world, and he is calling out of the world everyone that he sanctified and perfected when he died on that tree. This is the truth of God. This is the gospel. My question is this. Think about this. Oh, may it be that God Almighty gives you the ability to lay your heart and mind to this subject. Has Christ conquered you? Do you desire sanctification before God and perfection before God? Do you know you're in absolute need of sanctification before God and perfection before God? My question to you this morning is this. Has Christ conquered you by his gospel? Has Jesus Christ performed a work in you by the power of his Spirit and the preaching of his gospel, whereby he has conquered you and now stands over you as the great conqueror that brought you to him? Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He does the saving, all the saving. You see, your belief, my belief, your believing, my believing, does not add to Christ's work. No. Anyone who preaches to you that you must believe in order to add to Christ's work, thereby Christ's work is then made effectual by what you do, has strayed away from the truth of God. They, as a matter of fact, they're talking about a gospel which Paul says is indeed not a gospel. He said it's another gospel, but it's really not another. It's a perversion of the gospel of Christ. My will, my worth, my work does not add to what Jesus Christ accomplished on that tree. What Jesus Christ accomplished on that tree in sanctifying a people and perfecting forever those people that he sanctified guarantees that he is now, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So we see that Your belief, my belief, your believing, my believing, does not add to Christ's work. It does not make Christ's work effectual. Believing Christ, receiving Christ, bowing to Christ, being conquered by Christ. Believing is receiving the record God gave of His Son. The record God gave of His Son is this. He's accomplished the work. Everything judicially has been done, and everything experientially will be done by the preaching of His gospel and by the power of His Spirit. You see, when you hear these words, that He hath for by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. My question to myself, my question to you, my question to anyone that may hear the words of my voice this morning, my question is this: do you believe the record that God gave His Son? This is the record. This is the record. Sanctification and perfection are done. Sanctification and perfection were wrought some odd 2,000 years ago by the sacrificial offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Here's the question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You can't add to it. You can't make it better. You can't make it effectual. God doesn't call upon you to do that. God's not asking you to make what His Son accomplished of value. God is declaring, do you believe the record that I gave of my Son? And the record is, He sanctified and perfected a people forever.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.